Dharmahansa Parivraja Gacharya Stotra Sarasvati Shri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharashtra Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Shri Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai. Premsa Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinashyam Kundarada Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Ayodhya Dham Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Gangamaya Ki Jai. Jumunamaya Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Ki Jai. Harinama Sankirtan Ki Jai. Shri Shri Brihad Madanga Ki Jai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaurani Thai Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Vedanta Manadham Ki Jai. Shamaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gaur. Reading from the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Adi Leela, 8th chapter, 16th text. Bahu Janma Kare Yadi Shravana Kirtana Tabu Ta Na Paya Krishna Pade Premadana Bahu Janma Kari Yari Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yari Shravana Kirtana
Tabutana Paya Krishna Pare Premadana
Tabutana Paya Krishna Pare Premadana
Bahu Janma Kari Yari Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yari Shravana Kirtana
Tabutana Paya Krishna Pare Premadana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Krishna Pade Premadana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Krishna Pade Premadana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Krishna Pade Premadana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Krishna Pade Premadana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Tabutana Paya Krishna Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Premadana
Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Premadana
Adages
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana
Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Premadana
Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Premadana
Bahu,
many,
Janma,
births,
Kare,
does,
Yadi,
if,
Shravana,
hearing.
Kirtana,
chanting.
Tabu,
still.
Ta,
in spite of.
Na,
does not.
Paya,
get.
Krishna Pade,
unto the lotus feet of Krishna.
Prema Dhana.
Love of Godhead.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of his chanting. Responsibly, if one is infested, with the 10 offenses, in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra,
despite his endeavor to chant the holy name,
for many births,
you will not get the love of Godhead,
which is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this connection that unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although one goes on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for many, many years, there is no possibility of his attaining the platform of devotional service. One must follow strictly the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given in the Shikshastaka, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniyaksadakari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Shikshastaka 3. One who follows this direction, being free from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service to the personality of Godhead. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself are identical. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance. But in the spiritual world, the absolute is always absolute. The name, form, quality, and pastimes of the absolute are all as good as the Absolute Himself. As such, one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name and in this spirit distributes the Holy Name to the world. One who chants in that spirit, without offenses, is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the Holy Name and the Personality of Godhead are identical. To associate with the Holy Name and chant the Holy Name is to associate with the Personality of Godhead directly. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is clearly said, Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado Svayam Eva Spuratyada. The Holy Name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the Holy Name. This service, in a submissive attitude, begins with one's tongue, Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado. One must engage his tongue in the service of the Holy Name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the Holy Name. Since the Holy Name and Krishna are non-different, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement not only chant the Holy Name of the Lord offenselessly, but also do not allow their tongues to eat anything which is not first offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord declares, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti pahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita 9:26. Therefore, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has many temples all over the world, and in each and every temple, the Lord is offered these foodstuffs. On the basis of His demands, the devotees chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly and never eat anything that is not first offered to the Lord. The functions of the tongue in devotional service are to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and eat prasadam that is offered to the Lord. Om Agina Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Prabhupada is emphasizing in this purport that the holy name and the Lord are non-different, and that one who chants the holy name in this spirit and at the same time tries to distribute it is the successful aspirant on the spiritual path and realizes his nature as an eternal servant of the Lord. It is also stated in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar, and in many other places, that the descent of Krishna in his holy name in Kali Yuga is the way in which Krishna fully manifests himself in his Kali Yuga. And in the Shikshastakam second verse, Nam Namakari Bahuna Nija Sarva Shakti Statarpita Niyamita, and so on, the Lord says that this holy name of yours can actually render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. And then he goes on to say, but I have no attraction for them, playing the role of a devotee or of an aspirant on the spiritual path. One of the symptoms of surrendering to Krishna, there are six symptoms of surrender. One should describe in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita: accept everything that is favorable for Krishna consciousness, reject everything unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, always feel protected by the Lord, have no desires other than those of the Lord, always be fully dependent on the Lord's mercy, and always carry oneself as being meek and humble. So one of the ways in which one surrenders to Krishna is to understand that Krishna and his name are non-different. Because one of these six symptoms of surrender is to always be dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And another is to have no desires different from those of the Lord. So this means that one has to actually see that the Lord's name and the Lord are non-different. And then one is entering into surrender to see that the Lord's present actually in his holy name. This is not simple. Therefore, these offenses are given to us to help us to come to the stage of purity. As Prabhupada often said, purity is the force. It may seem that having so many restrictions, so many offenses, there are many types of offenses. There's not only offenses to the holy name, nama aparads, but there are guru aparads, there's dhamma aparads, seva aparads, many different ways in which offenses or aparads occur. Sometimes there's a tendency to think, well, this is just kind of superstitious. And there's so many little details and things that one has to adhere to in order to be active or be successful on the path of Krishna consciousness. But actually there's a great reason for all these things, because spiritual purity is very, very important. And the offenses against the holy name are of particular importance, because we understand from the Shastras that Krishna is actually present in his holy name. He's personally there in the chanting of his holy name. Therefore, these offenses are considered even more serious than the other offenses. There are 64 other offenses listed in the Nectar of Devotion. But of the 64, the other 10, which these 10 offenses actually originate in the Padma Purana, they're considered to be more serious because they directly offend the Supreme Lord in his personal form. Therefore, they're cited again and again, and in many temples they're actually recited every day in the morning so that we can begin to chant with spiritual purity. Of course, one is always offensive in the beginning in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because our nature, our very existence in this material world is one of being an offender. That's why we've come to this material world. So we gradually try to progress as we do from the Kanista to the Majjhima Adhikari stage on up to the Uttama Adhikari stage, from the offensive stage to the clearing stage, stage in which we are praying to the Lord every day to help us to clear these offenses. We're thinking about the offenses, and then ultimately one comes to the purified stage in which one chants automatically without any offenses. But in the interim, one tries to chant offenselessly by being aware of the offenses. And at the same time, one of the symptoms of surrender is always to depend fully on the mercy of the Lord. So one tries, and at the same time, one has to wait. Just as we read in the Nectar of Instruction, Utsaha Nishchaya Dharyat, one has to be very enthusiastic, at the same time very confident that the result will come. And third, one has to be very patient in order to wait for the Lord to bestow His mercy. Or as Lord Brahma prays, Tatenu kampam su samikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam vidvag vapugir vidadam namaste ajivetayo mukti pade sadaiva. One who constantly or earnestly awaits for the Lord to bestow His causeless mercy on him, all the while waiting or suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds while offering respectful obeisances with his body, mind, and words, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. This is the prayer by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is often very fearful. We read in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam that because he has such a great position to engineer the universe and to create all the living beings, to design the structure of the universe, he very often expresses his fear that he is going to become very attached and very offensive. Sometimes he forgets his position and tries to play tricks on Krishna or test Krishna. But he is always brought around to the realization that he has become impure or offensive in some way, and therefore he's constantly offering such prayers. In fact, in the section of the Bhagavatam of prayers to Lord, to Krishna by Lord Brahma, he prays, "May I always be engaged in your service. Please give me the benediction to be constantly engaged in your service and to become purified." So in order to become purified, we pray, and we pray for purity. As Prabhupada often said, purity is the force. And it is by this purity that we advance in Krishna consciousness. Of course, there are two tracks. One is to, as we read here in this purport, to advance the mission of Krishna. Prabhupada says, as such, one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name and, in this spirit, distributes the Holy Name to the world. So there are two parts. One becomes pure and, in that spirit, wants to distribute the Holy Name. Actually, the more one develops spiritual purity and becomes inspired from spiritual purity, the more one will automatically want to distribute spiritual knowledge, because one overflows with spiritual happiness and can't contain it within himself and wants very earnestly to go out and distribute this holy name. At the same time, the more one distributes Krishna consciousness, the more one has to come into contact with the material world. The more one comes into the contact with the material world, the more a devotee has to be careful, because he's realizing that he is being affected, because Maya is very, very powerful. So this inspires him to increase his spiritual purity, to study, to chant without offenses, to observe all the different forms of Vaishnava etiquette, and to act in such a way that he's observing all the various, even minute, principles of Vaishnava behavior. So there's these two tracks. On one of Prabhupada's appearance days, or disappearance days rather, I heard Tamal Krishna Maharaj speaking about how when he was with Prabhupada in his last days, he was serving him for quite a long time, he was feeling some dismay because he had to perform so many legal and technical and governmental activities. And he approached Prabhupada and he said, "Why, Prabhupada, I think I know the Bombay Municipal Codes better than the Bhagavad Gita. I can recite more of the codes than I can recite verses." And Prabhupada said to him, he recounted, that yes, we have to continuously strive for our spiritual purity and yet somehow at the same time pursue distributing the message of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna, he said to him, will be very pleased if he can see that you've given this one lifetime to him to serve Krishna, to advance his mission, to widen the circle of Krishna consciousness. At the same time, Prabhupada always emphasized the need for spiritual purity. And he recounts these 10 offenses specifically. in the Nectar of Devotion from Padma Purana, and he lists many other offenses. There are, as I mentioned, 64. I'll read a few of them just to give a little idea. Of course, Prabhupada said, I'm very lenient. Once he said to us, I'm 80% lenient. But we also understand that all of these offenses are given, all of these different pitfalls, these so-called traps on the path to Krishna consciousness are enumerated again and again. Because ultimately one wants to get out of this material world, realizing it's not our eternal home, and to go back to the eternal spiritual nature, the Tripad Vibhuti, where there is no offense, where there is no influence by the material world or Maya. So gradually, to get to that stage, one has to understand what these pitfalls are, so that by the time one is ready, and of course we should be ready all the time, but we can only go so fast, one has to be completely purified, anarta nivritti. That's one of the steps on the path to purification, to love of Godhead, to get premadana. One has to become actually completely free from these offenses in order to attain the spiritual world. So these are all a few. One should not enter the temple of the deity in a car or palanquin or with shoes. One should not fail to observe the various festivals for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Janmasmi, Ratha Yatra. One should not avoid bowing down before the deity. One should not enter the temple to worship the Lord without having washed his hands and feet after eating. One should not enter the temple in a contaminated state. According to Vedic scripture, if someone dies in the family, the whole family becomes contaminated for some time according to its status. For example, if the family is Brahmin, their contamination period is 12 days. For Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, 15 days, and for Shudras, 30 days. One should not bow down on one hand. One should not circumambulate in front of Sri Krishna. The process of circumambulation is that one should begin circumambulating from the deity's right-hand side of the temple and come around. One should not spread the legs before the deity. One should not sit before the deity holding the ankles, elbows, or knees with his hands. One should not lie down before the deity of Krishna. One should not accept prasada before the deity. One should never speak a lie before the deity. One should not talk very loudly before the deity. One should not talk with others before the deity. One should not cry or howl before the deity. One should not quarrel or fight before the deity. One should not chastise anyone before the deity. One should not be charitable to beggars before the deity. One should not speak very harshly to others before the deity. One should not wear a fur blanket before the deity. One should not eulogize or praise anyone else before the deity. One should not speak any ill names before the deity. One should not pass air before the deity. One should not fail to worship the deity according to his means. And then Prabhupada quotes that verse, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. One should not eat anything which is not offered first to Krishna. One should not fail to offer fresh fruit and grains to Krishna according to the season. After cooking, no one should be offered any foodstuff unless it is first offered to the deity. One should not sit with his back towards the deity. One should not offer obeisances silently to the spiritual master. Or in other words, one should recite aloud the prayers to the spiritual master while offering obeisances. One should not fail to offer some praise in the presence of the spiritual master. One should not praise himself before the spiritual master. One should not deride the demigods before the deity. And the next 32 are from the Varaha Purana. One should not touch the deity in a dark room. One should not fail to strictly follow the rules and regulations in worshipping the deity. One should not enter the temple of the deity without first making some sound. One should not offer any foodstuff to the deity, which has been seen by dogs or the lower animals. One should not break silence while worshipping. One should not pass urine or evacuate while engaged in worshipping. One should not offer incense without offering some flower. Useless flowers without any fragrance should not be offered. One should not fail to wash his teeth very carefully every day. One should not enter the temple directly after sexual intercourse. One should not touch a woman during her menstrual period. One should not enter the temple after touching a dead body. One should not enter the temple wearing garments of red or blue color or which are unwashed. One should not enter the temple after seeing a dead body. One should not pass air within the temple. One should not be angry within the temple. One should not enter the temple after visiting a crematorium. One should not belch before the deity. So until one has fully digested his food, he should not enter the temple. One should not smoke marijuana or ganja. One should not take opium or similar intoxicants. One should not enter the deity room or touch the body of the deity after having smeared oil over his body. One should not show disrespect to a scripture teaching about the supremacy of the Lord. One should not introduce any opposing scripture. One should not chew betel before the deity. One should not offer a flower which was kept in an unclean pot. One should not worship the Lord while sitting on the bare floor. One must have a sitting place or carpet. One should not touch the deity before he has completed taking bath. One should not decorate his forehead with the three-line tilak. One should not enter the temple without washing his hands and feet. Then Prabhupada goes on to say, quoting from Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is beneficial for eradicating all sins. He mentions that it is stated in the Padma Purana that even if a person whose life is completely sinful will be completely protected by the Lord if he simply surrenders unto him. But if one becomes an offender to the holy names of the Lord, then he has no chance of being delivered. So then he enumerates the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name. That one should not blaspheme devotees, one should not blaspheme the Vedic Shastras, one should not disobey the spiritual master, one should not consider the demigods equal. The demigods' names is equal to the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. One should not give some interpretation of the Lord or consider his holy name to be imaginary. One should not commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. One should not think that the chanting of the holy name are equal to the karmakandiya benedictions one can get from the Vedas. One shouldn't instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. And lastly, one should always have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name. Even though one may not be completely purified, and one should chant the holy name very attentively. So these are some of the offenses, and one is, it's almost like, say, walking on a tightrope to be free from these offenses. Actually, great sages, many great rishis and devotees, have expressed their fear of being offensive in any way. When we visit the holy dhams in India, we see how very cautious and very careful people are. Sridhar Swami told me once that Prabhupada was asked, how is it that you, in a lecture, how is it that you never seem to be dejected or depressed every time we see you very happy and blissful? And Prabhupada's answer was that my secret is that I pay very strict and careful attention to all the details of Vedic etiquette. So there's meaning for all these things. There's great obligations that we have. Devarshi Bhutatva Nrinim Pitrinam Kinkaronayamini Charajam, to the great sages and demigods, to our ancestors. There are obligations we have to the forces in this material world that are acting upon us in many different ways, even to all the other living entities. And at some point, we get a material body based upon our karma. There's different reactions that accrue, that come from our actions in the past. And at some point, all these things kind of come together. They're like a network of different activities and different forces. And there's a node or a place where they all come together. And at that point, this material body comes into existence. And the goal of the human body, as Rishabhdev instructs his sons, Tapo Divya Nayana Deho Deho, is to engage in austerity. And the purpose of that austerity is to reach love of Godhead. So when Rahugana was instructing, King Rahugana was being instructed by Jagannath, he was very repentant at one point because he realized that he was being offensive. He was calling out, "Who's causing my palanquin to bounce by walking in such a crooked way?" And of course, Jagannath was trying to avoid stepping on the insects and the ants. And when he realized that Jagannath was actually a great soul, not an ordinary person, but one who he thought he would have to actually surrender to. Then he confessed to him that actually, now that I know who you are, I'm very frightened. I'm very frightened of offending you, because to offend you would be more fearful to me. He said, I could withstand even the great thunderbolt of Indra, or the wrath of Lord Shiva, or the punishment of Yamaraj, or the scorching sun, or the great weapons of Yamaraj, or the great weapons of Kuvera, or any tribulations brought about by the moon or the wind. I'm not afraid of those things, I can tolerate them. But my great fear is to offend a great Brahmana. He was so afraid. We also hear that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he was very young, took a mango before it was offered. And when he heard that this was actually impure, or that this could be construed as an offense, he was, as a small child, 3 or 5 years old, decided never to take a mango for the rest of his life. And of course he did that. And in devotional service we also read that we can be forgiven. There's the story we read of King Riga in the 10th canto. The story of the cows, how one of his cows wandered into the province of another. And there were two Brahmins in his province. And the cow of one Brahmin wandered into the province of another. So when the first Brahmin wanted to claim his cow back, the first Brahmin objected, no, saying that it was actually my cow. And so this dispute ensued. Well, these were Brahmins. And it became something of an offense. And in the ultimate issue, when King Riga didn't know what to do because he had to suffer for this offense, Prabhupada remarks in the Krishna book that he was actually not free, although he engaged in certain penances and austerities for a long time. And he mentions that this priyaschita, or atonement, is actually ineffective, because only by pure devotional service can one actually be released from any offensive activity. So Prabhupada also quotes this verse from the third verse of Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Sunichena, how one can be successful in executing the recitation of the holy name if one becomes very humble, very pure. Prabhupada also quoted one verse from Chaitanya Chandamrita, that Danteni Daya Trini Kamam Padayori Patya Kritvacha Kakushatam Etadaham Ravimi He Sadavasa Kalane Havi Hayadura Chaitanya Chandra Charane Guru Tanuragam. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur gives the method by which one can become very humble in approaching others or entering into the spirit of distributing the holy name. He says that one has to, as that verse says, approach one danteni daya with a straw in the mouth, danteni daya trini kam pade yorni patya, and fall like a stick before others. Danteni daya trini kam pade yorni patya kritvam chakaka. One should speak very sweet words, thousands of very sweet words. And one should become the friend of everyone, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. And then, when these things are accomplished, one should address the person, He Sadhava Sakala Nehavi Hayadurad, as a sadhu, as a great person, as a person who has understood spiritual knowledge. He Sadhava Sakala Nehavi Hayadurad Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kuru Tanuragam. Now, I ask you one favor. You are very great, very intelligent. That favor is that you hear about the mercy of the rising moon of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please hear this one thing from me. So that is one of the secrets Prabhupada spoke of from Chaitanya Chintamrita, to maintain a humility and thereby obtain spiritual purity, how to approach one and how to gradually become free from these different anarthas that enter in. So purification is not an easy process. It involves constant vigilance and constant study. First of all, to know what these offenses are, and then to learn how to avoid them. In 1974, Prabhupada was speaking in Mayapur, and he spoke about how important it was to come to the holy dham for purification. In fact, at one point he asked his disciples to come at least once every year just to hear and read and chant in the holy dham. He said in one of his lectures that if you chant the holy name of Krishna in this holy dham, it will be 1,000 times more potent than ordinary chanting. And he said, at the same time, if you commit offenses in the holy Dham, it is 1,000 times magnified. So whatever you do, he said, if you do something good, it is magnified 1,000 times. If you do something bad, it is magnified 1,000 times. So I remember feeling very frightened to just even think of something sinful in the holy Dham. And so we began to walk about very carefully and look at the trees very carefully, offer respect to all of them, offer respect to all the sadhus in Navadvip very carefully. But this is actually the case, that one can inadvertently commit so many offenses. I think it's the Jains who wear something like a surgical mask over their face so that they won't inhale any living entities. Because that's a fact, that even as we're breathing and walking, we're killing so many living entities. And we see the people that live in these holy places, they're very, very careful how they do everything. There's a demigod involved in everything we do. That's why we don't blow out the candle, because it's an offense. It would be like blowing on Agni. So there's a reason for all these things. Therefore, we wave out the candle. We're very careful. So there are many, many different types of aparad. Some are known and some are unknown. And there are different ways to counteract each and every one of them listed in the different samhitas and different shastras. But purification, we understand, comes from the Lord ultimately. Yastvindra gopam hatavendra mahosva karma. It's stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Prabhupada quotes this verse many, many times, that the Lord is actually the controller of all the reactions which happen to all the living entities, from Lord Indra down to the Indragopa germ, small living entity. All of the actions and reactions are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead ultimately and by none other. Therefore, if one is fortunate enough to get the seed of devotional service and actually engage in the service of someone who is in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the way he likes to be served, then and only then, by engaging in devotional service, can this multitude of actions, of reactions, be destroyed. It's also mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that if one engages in devotional service, one is exempted from more sinful activities than he can actually commit. That's the power, the great power of devotional service. Of course, there's dispensations allowed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's mentioned that in the age of Kali, because the age of Kali has several dispensations, if one thinks of a sinful activity but doesn't actually commit it, one is exonerated from the reaction of that sinful activity. Because the age is so polluted, so dangerous, so fraught with fear and contamination at every step, that this little dispensation is given. Of course, it does not mean that one can go about thinking sinfully, because in order to rise to the platform of purity and go back to the spiritual world, ultimately one has to become free, even of thinking of sinful activities. But the great mercy that comes to us by having contacted a great spiritual acharya, a great spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada, is a movement which is part of an unbroken line of spiritual masters through which the mercy of Krishna can be obtained, through which the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be obtained. So Prabhupada was very keen to have us go especially to Mayapur, of course Vrindavan too, but not to ever leave out Mayapur, because it is in Mayapur, which is sometimes called the Gupta Vrindavan or the hidden Dham, the Dham which is the sum total of all the other Dhams in the world, because here the mercy is distributed without any consideration of one's sinful activities, without any consideration of past, of creed, of nationality, of color, with no consideration at all. In this way, Lord Chaitanya's mercy extends further and further down. It reaches down, down into the Malechas and Chandalas, all the people who might come to Mayapur to purify them. When Prabhupada came to Atlanta, there was an installation. They have a big brass cornetai deities, big 3-4 foot high deities. So on the installation, he was very emotional. He was describing how Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful than Krishna because, as he said many times, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita demands, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, that you must surrender unto me. in his form of Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, he does not make the demand, but rather he comes and goes everywhere, travels about and sends his messengers everywhere. His movement. For some time, because he was meditating on how kind Lord Chaitanya is. So in this way, Prabhupada wanted a big expansion of his movement in Mayapur, so that everyone could come from different places, fulfill Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dream, his vision that people could come and become purified. Actually, in this year in Mayapur, there was one thing discussed. That was the centennial. There was a little piece of paper written on the podium for all the speakers. Dear speaker, please say something about Prabhupada's centennial. So one of the themes, pervading themes of this year's festival was the centennial, that in 1996 we should offer something very, very special for Srila Prabhupada. It's not an ordinary time. One of the themes, one of the 12 principal goals of the centennial is to increase spiritual purity, with the understanding that if one wants to do something special for the spiritual master, for Krishna, on such an auspicious occasion, there should be some great attempt and some positive sign, a goal, something to strive for, so that spiritual purity will be greatly increased, knowing that in this way one can achieve great things for the spiritual master by attaining spiritual purity. So there's much, much mercy to be obtained, and one has to be careful. We read that if we offend a devotee, just as Maharaj Ambarish, he was offended by Durvasa Muni. Of course, he didn't feel the offense, but the offense was so great, the offense to a devotee, that in his Sudarshan Chakra form, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, chased him all over the universe and finally told him that he could not forgive him. He could only be forgiven if he obtained the mercy, the forgiveness of Maharaj Ambarish. So one has to, if one purposely or indirectly offends and realizes his offense to a devotee, he has to go to him, fall at his feet, and beg forgiveness, Trinada Pichanichena, and he'll be forgiven. There are so many methods, but if devotional service is taken as the primary activity, then everything can be forgiven. That's also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Vichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mama Nanyavati Nadireva Samantavya Samya Vyavasito Pisa. That if one gets, if one is even the most sinful of all persons, if one engages in the path of devotional service and does so with determination, then even that person is considered sadhu, sadhu eva samantavya. So even the most sinful person is considered sadhu. And it was Lord Chaitanya and the mercy of the Goswamis and the whole Sampradaya coming down to us through Srila Prabhupada, who restated and re-emphasized and demonstrated how this can be done. Now, once Prabhupada was in L.A. and he said to the devotees, this was in 1971, one devotee asked him, he said, some of you might know, Nara Narayan, he said, Prabhupada, the demigods ever come to the temple to see the deities? And Prabhupada laughed and he said, He said, yes, didn't you see? They were all there today. Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni. He said, what? Really, Prabhupada? And he laughed and he said, yes, they have come to see the Malechas and Chandalas chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So, from the Vedic perspective, we're on that level, actually. We have to see ourselves. Tatteno kambam sushamikshamano. On the other hand, there's a great mercy by the Lord. Lord Kapila says that if one is actually chanting Aho Bhatayo Swapacho Garayan, the Hare Krishna mantra, he's also considered to have chanted the holy name in the past, to have visited the holy places of pilgrimage, to have studied the Vedas, to have perfected all the manners of the Aryans. So we can see that. At least we can see that in others. The principle is that for spiritual purity we have to be very hard on ourselves and push ourselves to become more and more pure. While with others we have to be more lenient and understand that it's a gradual process and encourage. Because part of the process of Krishna consciousness, as we read, is to distribute it to others. And in order to distribute it to others, we have to be tolerant with others. Because everyone, as we are, and we're very much more previously, are offenders. Being an offender is our nature. So we have this duality of having to be very strict on ourselves and at the same time be very lenient. And sometimes this is a test of our tolerance to do this. It's said in the Nectar of Devotion that one's tolerance is a measure of one's strength in Krishna consciousness. The more we can tolerate, the more we will be strong in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes this is necessary while striving for spiritual purity and being very strict with ourselves, to be a little more lenient and encouraging to others. Because mahatam bahumane na dina namano kampayam matra chaiva tulyeshu yamena niyamena cha. Lord Kapila says that one has to be very merciful, constantly merciful to others. And in order to extend this mercy, we have to act in the mood of Lord Chaitanya and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Because offenses will recur and recur and recur. And the more we can develop our own spiritual purity, the more we will be able to be broad-minded Mahatmas and open-hearted and big-hearted and not take others' offenses. Just as Ambarish Maharaj, he didn't take the offense. It was considered a great offense by Lord Vishnu, but he didn't ever feel he was offended. And when he was asked to be forgiven, he said, I never felt offended. So that when he never feels offended, he never wants respect, and he only offers respect to others. This will help the aspirant achieve spiritual purity. So one should be very vigilant towards committing offenses against, especially against the holy name. It is said that if we can control the tongue, then everything else can be controlled. Anudvegyam karam bhakyam satya priyahitam chaya svadhyayam vyasanam chaya vadvanmayam tapa uchite. The control of the tongue, or austerity of the tongue, consists of speaking always in the proper way. Satya priyahitam chaya. This is from 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Satya, speaking very truthful. One should speak very pleasingly. One should speak in such a way that one is not ever offensive to others. And one should speak in such a way that one actually becomes endeared to others. And one should speak constantly from the Shastras or from Vedic literature. In this way, the tongue becomes controlled. And when the tongue becomes controlled, as Prabhupada was indicating in the purport here, by one's eating, by only eating Krishna prasadam, and by constantly vibrating the holy name of the Lord, one will become purified. So one of the ways in which one surrenders to the Lord or realizes that Krishna is ever present in His holy name and never forgets Him is to always vibrate, never let the tongue be idle. Once a devotee noticed when Prabhupada was yawning that his tongue was vibrating the holy name. If somehow we can always remember this, Rupa Goswami says one should always remember and never forget Krishna. If one can always remember to never stop, Kirtana Yaksadakari. That's actually the principle. When Prabhupada translated that as 24 hours a day, he actually meant chanting constantly. Of course, sometimes it has to be internal because we're speaking or we're doing something that we actually can't concentrate on the holy name. But if we just analyze how many moments of the day pass when we're going from place to place or thinking about something or bathing or involved in some activity where we can actually be chanting the holy name, it actually adds up to quite a lot of time. And this is purification. It becomes purification of the tongue, becomes purification of the body, and purification of the mind. And by this purity, we will be inspired to advance the Krishna consciousness, and we will be inspired to advance the circle of Krishna consciousness, to widen it, and to therefore get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So I'll read the verse again. Bahu janma kari yadi shravana kirtanam tabu tuna paye Krishna pare premadan. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of his chanting. Any comments or questions? Yes? Yes. Actually, I heard Prabhupada ask that question about why shouldn't you wear red in front of the deity. Someone asked him in Los Angeles. I think it was 1974. And his answer was that there are some things which we may not understand, but we have to just know that gradually we will understand them. That was his answer. And I thought that was a very interesting answer, because I wondered before I heard that tape, I thought, well, what if somebody asked me, why shouldn't we wear red? And what would I say? Because I didn't know it either. I still don't know. And as he went on to say, nectar devotion, that the 10 offenses are the more serious ones, that these other offenses can easily be forgiven, but the 10 offenses against the holy name are the most important offenses, and therefore they're recited. So from that, we can understand that, and his statement that I'm 80% lenient, that there are some of these things which we cannot understand, and some of them may not even be applicable. Another one which is like that is that we shouldn't offer glorification of anyone in front of the deity. Well, we do that. We have our deity darshan, and then we glorify Srila Prabhupada. So a lot of these things are difficult to understand, and they're not necessarily applicable in every time, place, and circumstance. But they are mentioned, because as Prabhupada said, there will come a time when we'll be able to understand and enact them, and make them a part of our lives. It may not be until we're actually in the spiritual world. But these offenses are mentioned just, they're there to give us an indication that everything that yada 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 padvipadam natesham, that everywhere, at every step in this material world, it is fraught with danger. This is one of the ways in which we can understand that we do have to be very careful and understand that to attain spiritual purity, we will have to pull back many, many layers of illusion and maya to eventually come to the stage of spiritual purity. So they're there for us, but not that we're going to be able to understand or even enact all of these things. But Prabhupada gave us so many things. He gave us many things to do, which we may not do for 100 years or 200 or 300 years. Establish Varanashram. We don't know how long that's going to take. And he established but he nevertheless he got the things rolling. He started giving some people sannyas when they were very young. And similarly, he mentioned all of these many, many things, but at the same time saying that we may not be able to enact them, we may not be able to understand them, and telling us that he was going to be very lenient with us. So that's there. Does that help? You do? Yes. Yeah. Well, there's Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. We, although Prabhupada compiled this work and translated it, we consider it a Shastra. But there's also Guru and Sadhu. Prabhupada's also a Guru to many, all in a way, and he's also a Sadhu to all of us. So we take instruction. The affection from the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one which descends from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his teachings, through his Shastra, through his devotees, the Guru, and through the Sadhus. And Prabhupada has written books, but sometimes we have to read his letters also and his conversations, and sometimes we got personal instructions which explain some of the things which we were not given more detail on in the Shastras. Although the Shastra, the written word, is the most important thing for us to read. Sometimes we have had Trinada Pisinichena or Tadviti Pranipatena. I mean, we've had to go as his disciples or sometimes grand disciples to the disciples to ask, well, did you ask Prabhupada about this? What did he say? Because one of the instructions is to question the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively. And of course, there's many things we might wish we had asked and didn't ask, and we're having to grapple with many questions by researching the Shastras. But for that reason, sometimes we won't find things in the books, but we'll find by researching his other works, his other statements, or even hearing from someone who had first-hand information about Prabhupada. And in that way, sometimes we have to act on those instructions, which are further explanations coming from the Guru or the Sadhu. Yes.
Last week there was discussion the teachings of Acharya, so that there are no past and past rules of Acharya Krishna, but the other group will be the great today, there are so many rules of Acharya Krishna.
Lord Chaitanya's position as a devotee of Krishna is unique, because in the second verse of the Shukshastra, he also says, I have no attraction for them. Even though your holy name can render all addiction, I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. So we have to see that Nato Natyadaro Yata, Krishna is described as the great actor, and one of the great actions or roles he plays is that of Lord Chaitanya, as one who is a devotee. I have no devotion. He says that, I have no devotion to Lord Krishna. So therefore he also says there are no hard and fast rules. So this is similar to what I was explaining before, that we as followers of Lord Chaitanya want to be very strict on ourselves and develop a sense of understanding what these offenses are and knowing what they are and how to overcome them and how to deal with them. But on the other hand, when someone is just approaching Krishna consciousness, he may be standing on the street corner observing the Harinam party, and we see that he's very amused. His consciousness is changing imperceptibly. He's obtaining some of Gyata Sukriti. So naturally we don't go up and say, actually you shouldn't be smiling, you're very offensive. There's a lot of offenses in chanting the holy name. No, we encourage him. Well, you can chant Allah, you can chant Jehovah, you can chant anywhere you are, you can chant in the bathroom and so on and so forth. People ask these questions and they're very much encouraged in that way. So Lord Chaitanya said, there are no hard and fast rules for chanting these names. Because that's one of the myriad roles that Krishna plays in his role as he's known as the great actor. Because he's acting in such a way that he can benefit not only the human beings, but even the lower animals. Because they can hear the holy name. They can't ever understand it. So this is one of Krishna's many unique manifestations and one of the wonders of Krishna, that he plays many roles to benedict different types of living entities according to Deshakala Patra, time, place, and circumstance. It's when we eat, we're conscious of when we've had enough, when we can stop eating. So as we progress in chanting the holy name, we desire more and more spiritual purity. By the super soul, we hear, we want to, it naturally comes. We want to chant purely more and more. And as we hear and our desire continues, then we will simply want to chant more and more purely. That comes from Krishna through the super soul. Well, it's mentioned that one shouldn't sit like this. it's more, I mean, that's one of the offenses. Of course, when new people come in, we may be a little bit lenient with them. But this is the proper way. Of course, some people can't even sit. They have to sit in a chair. We don't consider that an offense because we want them to get the mercy of the deity. When Prabhupada wanted us to build a temple in Regent Square, Regent Park, he took us to the site over near the American Embassy, near Avenue Road. It's sort of around to the north and east from that big mosque, Islamic Center. And he was describing how it should look. It would be built over this little estuary. And he said, and then you should make a big glass window all the way around so that everybody who's walking by can see the deity. So in one way, we might consider it's an offense because all these things you're not supposed to do before the deity. The men on the street are walking by, embracing their girlfriends, they're eating, they're doing everything wrong. Yet Prabhupada wanted the thousands of people who would walk by this temple to see the deity, to get the darshan. So this is the way in which we sometimes have to be lenient. Of course, this is just a proper thing. Prabhupada, when he was chanting once, there's that famous japa tape where it says, sit properly. So this is proper. But for some reason, if your legs get stiff and you have to sit like this in front of the deity, then it's okay because, you know, it's important. It's more important for you to see the deity than to sit like this or like this or whatever. But this is proper. We should try to do the proper things. But understanding that this is Kali Yuga, some people are too old, some people can't do it for various reasons. Someone might have to sit in a wheelchair, so we have to be practical. This is where the importance of the spiritual master comes in, or the sadhu. We can get this instruction, these little more detailed things that we sometimes have to know. We might not find it in Prabhupada's books. Both things are necessary. We have to try to hear and perfectly and avoid the offenses. And at the same time, we have to become very absorbed in the chanting and let the mercy of Krishna flow through the chanting. It's not that we can just think that Krishna will correct everything. We don't have to separately endeavor. We also, according to what Lord Chaitanya is saying, we have to be constantly aware and try endeavor to obtain spiritual purity, to obtain all the 27 qualifications of the devotee. Even though it is said that all those qualities appear automatically, yasyatma bhaktir bhagavati kinchana. So it's said that these qualities will appear automatically. Sarvagunas tatra samasate sura. Still, one should try to endeavor to achieve them. Because Krishna helps, as it is said, God helps those who help themselves. So Krishna expects us to endeavor, and therefore we get more of His mercy if we try. If we try to do what He wants, to carry out His mission, and to purify ourselves. I think we have time for one more.
I wanted to ask about, you said that the Lord is actually present in this holy day. I'm thinking about newspaper articles sometimes where we get, you know, it may even be an unfavorable article if the Lord is there. I was wondering about the relative kind of benefit of a person saying a negative article if the Lord is there, or a positive article if the Lord is there. Or is it just the same?
Well, Prabhupada once commented on that. Somebody was reading some newspaper articles and they weren't entirely favorable. Some were, but they were a little negative, and Prabhupada just kind of laughed and he said they're advancing just by printing Krishna's name, because they're going to hear Krishna, Krishna, they'll be thinking Krishna, Krishna, they'll be saying Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So he was very amused. And of course there's so many statements in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita that even if one says the name of Krishna in a joking way or inadvertently or accidentally, or says it backwards, like the Muslim who was saying Mara, Mara, and it came out Rama, 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 And sometimes we see the word Ram on some billboard for some company, or there's the Ramada Hotel and so many things. And this is actually all beneficial because the Holy Name is so merciful. Of course, this is just a beginning stage, and if one chants about Krishna favorably, he's getting more and more benefit. There are different levels, but any time the Holy Name appears, especially on the part of a neophyte, it's very beneficial. It's the beginning of Krishna consciousness. So, thank you very much. Chaitanya Chaitamrita ki jai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Prabhupada Centennial ki jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.